What's up, everybody? It's Michael Tucker with the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. Welcome to another episode. Today, we have a very fun conversation with Kenley Camp and Greg Tuck. Now, these gentlemen, they're crushing it. They're wholesaling houses. They're flipping houses, doing creative financing. They are taking Texas. I believe you guys are in Texas, right, Kenley?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Well, they're taking Texas by storm. They're doing big things. And so I want to bring them on today to talk a little bit about their systems they're using in their business and how they went, Kenley went just doing a single person operation to now they have multiple people on their team. They have VAs. They're growing at a very tremendous rate. So I wanted to bring them on to talk about that. But before we get into today's conversation, just a reminder, guys, if you like these shows, if you like these episodes, just leave a comment below or review. Let us know somehow that you like these. And also hit that subscribe button so that you can get these every week straight to your inbox. So guys, before we get in here, also one last announcement. Just want to remind you guys about the Real Estate Success Live event. If you haven't heard about that, you can go to realestatesuccess.live. There's a website there that talks about that. I'm not going to go into too much depth right now, but we actually have a live mastermind happening this September where you guys can come meet with me. Actually, Kenley and Greg are hopefully going to be there. We're going to try to make something work out for them to be there to speak. And we have several other guest speakers that are going to be there sharing how you can scale your real estate business in 2021. So let's jump right on in. Kenley, Greg, how's it going, fellas? You doing all right today?
Yes, sir. Doing good.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to bring you guys on today to talk a little bit about your journey. Kenley, let's talk a little bit about you, man. So I know you got started back several years ago and you started out wholesaling. You kind of grew into doing more than just wholesaling, but just tell the audience a little bit about how you got into real estate and what made you want to start wholesaling and getting into this REI industry.
Awesome. So like most, I don't come from money. So money, you know, I didn't have money to flip houses, right? But they have those seminars, they have those radio ads, all that good stuff that come on. So I was watching TV and a late night infomercial came on for Dean Graziosi. And he was talking about wholesaling houses. He didn't call it wholesaling, right? He was just saying how you could buy a house with no money. So watched it, went to it. I was just, life hadn't shit on me, you know, so I was gullible. I was still gullible. I was okay to take risk. I hadn't been beat up by life too much. So, you know, I just went for it. I dove in. It took me, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on, you know, up here to go over the hump. It took me 3 years to get my first deal, believe it or not. I know the struggle.
Wait, how long did it take for you to get your first deal?
3 years.
3 years. And so many people are complaining they can't get a deal in 6 months. It's crazy.
I know. It's funny to me. But yeah, you know, I know every part of the journey from being solo to, you know, now having a total of 13 people between us. Took me 3 years to get my first deal. I was able to start crushing it kind of, you know, I just bandit signed. That's all I knew. That's what they taught. So that's what I did. I didn't know, you know, cold calling wasn't really talked about. SMS definitely wasn't talked about. So bandit signs, city found out who I was. They really got a stickler for me. So bandit signs quit working about after a year. I was able to get about a deal a month for the first year, made good money, right? I was making $330 a week, working in a warehouse. So, you know, going from making $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 a month was just money was just insane at that time. You know, I didn't. You know, when you make a lot of money, you don't have any of your grounds, meaning you don't know how to control their spending habits, all that. It goes and comes really quick. So, you know, fast forward, I tried to get Greg on with me pretty much after the first year. It took him 2 years to finally jump on board with me. I just happened to hit him at a good time where he was in a transitional phase in his life. So he, he finally came on board. And you know, how we got started was everybody would hit me up. I was a true go-giver, so I'd let everybody come and, you know, if they wanted to learn, I was willing to teach. So my filter was, hey, go drive for dollars. Give me 100 houses. After you get me 100 houses, we're good to go. But I didn't give him the app Deal Machine, even though I had it, or one of the other apps that are out there. He had to do it the same way I did, which was pen and paper. you know, I wanted him to write down 100 addresses. I wanted him to go on the county afterwards and make sure the addresses were right and all that good stuff, right? First day he did 95, and I was like, wow, you know, you're gonna be great. So he is really just transformed the business in a sense, right? I'm the visionary, he's the integrator. We read the book Rocket Fuel, and we're both just owning our roles. We have an implementer also who is a VA, and she just absolutely, she probably transformed both of us, to be honest. But, you know, it's an exciting time, man. Wholesaling, flipping, doing some creative stuff. You know, I'm here to share. Anybody got any questions out there, reach out to me on Instagram, and just, I'm always here to help, so.
Well, I love it. I love it, guys. And it's a common theme as you're growing in your real estate business or any business in general, you're going to have to find someone else. You're going to have to build a team. And that's how really you scale. And if you, you know, are at that point right now, I'm kind of like at that point. I was just telling Kenley, like, I'm at that point where we're doing several flips a month. We're trying to buy several flips a month. And it's getting to the point where we need someone on our team. So if you're looking to scale, just know that you need to be working on yourself. You need to be working on your people skills, your communication skills, because eventually you're going to need to grow a team if you want to do this for a living. So Greg, I want to hear your side of the story, man. So whenever Kenley hit you up, brother, like, what was your thoughts and how, you know, what was the whole process behind you and your partnership with Kenley?
I remember it was back in 2017, I believe. My son was about to be born. I was working for the Texas Department of Transportation, and I wasn't having a really good time. My stepmom already passed away. My grandparents just passed away, both of them, and they had custody of my little brother and sister, and my dad was in prison, and I had to get my brother and sister, and I was going through a custody battle over my daughter. I mean, I was going through a lot, and I was like, man, you know, I need to do something to supplement my income, because I'm not making enough money with the Department of Transportation for the state of Texas. I believe, like, after they took out child support and health insurance, all that, I was making about $900 a month bring home. And, you know, I had to support my little brother and sister on that. And, you know, I had a son on the way. And then, you know, I had to have enough money to go to Houston every other weekend to go see my daughter too. And it was really tough. And then, it never worked out, man. Like, I didn't go do the real estate thing with Kenley. I started getting certifications so I can go work in chemical plants in Houston. I was making really good money doing that. I worked my way up pretty quick. I was making about, at the end of it, $13,000 to $15,000 a month, but I was working, like, out of state. Like, my last stint, I was in Bangor, Maine. We was building polyethylene cracker units for a company called Shimbro. I was making really good money up there, and I came down back home, you know, for Christmas, flew home, see my kids, flew back up, and my daughter called me. She was like, hey, you know, you think your boss will give you some extra time off? I really miss you. You know, I don't see you as much anymore. And I was like, yeah, I think he will. And then the next day, you know, I told my boss that I quit, and I loaded everything up in my car, and I drove back down here. Yeah.
Wow, man, that's crazy. And that, you had a bigger why, man. That's cool. So, you know, after that job, did you just get right back with Kenley and decide to do this real estate thing, or what was the process from there?
I came back home. I tried to find work, and I don't know. I worked so much after I left the Department of Transportation. I was working so much all the time to, you know, make money. I just got burned out, and I was like, man, there's got to be an easier way for me to make money where I'm not missing out on all this time with my family. And I talked to Kenley about it, because we started talking again. He's like, man, I've been telling you the whole time, real estate. I was like, man, oh yeah, I forgot all about that. You know, I'm going to give it a shot, for real. I'm going to give it a 100% shot. I'm not going to talk to you about it. You know, I'm going to dive all in and see what we can do. And he was like, all right, you know, and he got me to start bird dogging for him. I guess it was like his training program or whatever he had for people. And I was getting $1 per house, so I'd wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, eat breakfast, take a shower, get ready to go, put gas in my car, and then I'd drive around. I would, like, at the end, I was trying to do 200 houses a day, and I was trying to do it 5 days a week, because it was like, well, you know, at least, you know, I can make about $1,000 a week.
Love it, man. Love it. And so one thing I'm getting from Greg's story is, you know, a lot of times some of y'all are just going half in. But when Greg decided, he said he was going to commit 100%, right? And we talk about this all the time. If you listen to my podcast, you listen to any videos, or you follow me on Instagram, you're going to have to commit to go 100% in and do whatever it takes. And that's what Greg did. He said, I'm not, you know, I forgot about it, but this time I'm going to go all in. And now you can see their fruits of their labor. They're, you know, crushing it right now. Their partnership has bloomed into so many more companies that they're growing together. And it's just amazing to see you guys. Greg, did you ever see yourself ever getting into real estate, man?
Absolutely not. The first time I ever talked to Kenley about it, we went to this place called Wings and Things in Eight Wings, and he told me to go read this book. I think it was 100 or 90 Days of Financial Freedom or 123 Days of Financial Freedom by Dean Graziosi. I read the book, and I was like, man, this shit sounds like a scam. I'm not going to do this. Like, he's crazy. He drank some Kool-Aid or something.
Well, that's, you never, you know, sometimes we have this self-limiting belief that, oh, well, this isn't for me. You know, we get 3-4 months in and we're like, I can't find a deal. The market's too hot, or, you know, I can't seem to make this work. Maybe this isn't for me. And you can, guys, I just want to like use this podcast episode to encourage you. Kenley didn't get his until 3 years later. Greg, you know, he had to go off and, you know, find work somewhere else to support his family. But he eventually came back and found success in it. And there's some of you guys, you're getting discouraged. Listen, you can do this. Just stick to the process. Just stick with what you know, and you can get it done. So this, guys, this partnership was formed. You guys started coming together. Greg, you started, you know, doing, you know, several hundred leads for Kenley a day. You know, at what point, Kenley, did you guys decide, hey, this is going to be big, and let's scale this up a notch? Like, what point was that?
So I knew the whole time how I wanted him to be. He just didn't know how to get there, right? But I saw the vision before he ever saw it in himself. I knew that he was exactly what I just needed, and we needed to go to the next level. We do a lot of really cool stuff with data. He has no type of background when it comes to any of this data, any of this. He's just a smart guy. He's just a go-getter, right? But he doesn't have a background in any of this stuff. But I just, you know, we kind of grew up together. I just remember playing games with him, and he would just, you know, find people's IP addresses just like real quick. I'm like, how do you do that? Right. So, you know, I knew from the get go how I wanted him to get there. We just, neither one of us knew how to get him there. So we started, you know, he started owning his role probably about a year ago, and he's really taken off in his role probably in the last 6-7 months. I mean, he's a true integrator. You know, he basically finds any holes in our ship and he fills them, right? That's kind of quote unquote his, you know, I would say job in a sense. But I knew from the get-go we needed him, man. We're doing really cool stuff with data, dude. I mean, it's hard to put into words all the stuff we're doing, but I mean, you just gotta stay in it. Like, his first deal was $2,600, right? And it took him 4 months to get it or something. Second deal was $96,000. You know, he was able to pay off all of his debt. Wow, he was able to pay off all of his, you know, he was able to just get a fresh start in life at that point, right? So, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to put in the work. It will come. Your second deal may not be that big, but eventually you'll start getting big deals or consistency, you know, so.
I love it, man. No, that's awesome to hear. And congratulations, by the way, to all your guys' success. And so let's talk a little bit about your business. Let's go into that realm. You know, about how much of your business is wholesaling? How much are you taking down yourself now? What's that kind of look like? Because I know you started out just wholesaling. It kind of transitioned. So tell me a little bit about what your business is, you know, doing right now, and why you may have transitioned to what you're doing now versus just only wholesaling.
Bigger spreads, right? I mean, if you look up Big Spread Greg on Instagram, you're going to find Greg. That's what we're all about, just trying to make more. How can we squeeze every little ounce of juice out of something, right? So the way it started was wholesale was cool. We started building up some capital. Then we were able to take down some deals ourselves just for buying it on seller finance and selling on owner finance, right? So I would give a seller zero down or maybe $5,000 down, turn around, put some terms on there to where, you know, maybe my payment to the seller is $1,200, and now I'm selling it on the other end for $1,500, $1,600, and I'm also getting $20,000 down, right? So we just started being able to take down some of these deals, and you know, it's just been, it's been great. I mean, currently our company is doing between 2 to 4 deals a month, and that's between wholesale and flipping. Our average deal size right now just on wholesaling is $36,000. We're doing, like, you know, before Greg really owned his role, our average was $11,000, right? But he was able to really dive in and look at some of the KPIs, and we're real big on not marketing to the masses. We're real big on marketing to those really key individuals that need to be marketed to. Well, I'm sure we'll dive into that, or I would love to dive into that later, but you know, as of right now, we're doing 2 to 4 wholesale slash flips. We're doing about 2 deals a month where we're doing creative stuff, whether it's takedown and just rent out, or takedown and wholesale, takedown, flip, anything to do with something creative. Right now we have a 0% deal, you know, zero out of money, out of pocket, 0% down, and they get paid when we get paid, and we're going to flip it. So basically a wholesale deal, right? But we're actually going to do a lot of the rehab. This real estate game is incredible, man. When you start learning all these little niches that you can do, it's endless on how you can make money. There's 1,000 ways. You just got to pick a couple. So
that's awesome, man. And it's cool, because I want to go into what you're talking about. You were just talking about it a second ago. You were talking about how a lot of people just market to the masses, right? They market to one single list that may be tax delinquent. They may just market out to vacant houses, right? Or absentee owners. And they get frustrated because they're not finding success. But what you guys do is different. You guys go even more granular, even more niche, I guess you would say. And so let's talk about that. Like, how niche are you, are your list? How small are they? And what kind of data are you guys going? Because we've had this conversation off screen, and you guys are really, really good at pulling data. And Greg, I know this is your bread and butter. So what kind of data do you guys pull, and how granular do you guys get?
So before he talks on it, I just wanted to say, what happens when you skip trace the list of 1,000 people, right? And you only get back 850 phone numbers. What are you doing with those other 250 people? Those are the people we're focusing on. Like, we're still marketing to the masses, right? Quote unquote. But Greg is so good at finding those other 250 people. Like, I'm going to let him speak on it, but I just want to put that out there for the audience. It's like, to me, the people you should be focusing on is the, when you skip trace it one or two times, you know, the way we work in our company is we skip trace it through one company. Then we go to bigpeachdata.com, use the discount code sub2, right? Little plug there. You get 30% off. But we discount it through Big Peach. Then when we don't find all their numbers, because you're never going to find all of them, we go to another company. We go to TurboSkip. After you go to TurboSkip, let's say you're still left with 100 people. What are you doing with those 100 people? That's where Greg comes in and just crushes it. I feel like we have no competition, if I'm being completely honest. I'll let you go ahead, Greg. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's all good, man. So you said, how niche are we going in the data? There's one deal that I can recall particularly. It was the Bonita Morehouse. It was there in Temple, Texas. And the house was empty and the taxes were delinquent. And whenever we called Bonita and we finally got a hold of her, we got the house under contract. We submitted it to the title company. They found that there was a lien on the property from this company. And I was like, that's weird. I wonder what that is. So we started, you know, sellers are liars, buyers are worse, whatever. Well, she lied, didn't say that she had a lien on the property. And, you know, we start looking into it. She got a loan on her taxes. Well, I was like, man, that's weird. I need to find out what that company is. So I went on the... I went on the county website and I started looking at the files that were recorded down there, and I seen that company had recorded something, and the type of document is called a slip in my mind right now for some reason. Do you remember what it's called?
Transfer of tax lien.
It's called a transfer of tax lien. And I was like, man, you know what? I wonder if I could if I can go to the county and get an index of all transfer of tax liens, and then I can get those people's names, and then I can, you know, I could run up to the county appraisal district to see if they still own property. And I think there were 667 transfer of tax liens filed in the last 3 or 4 years. And I removed all the duplicates, and then I cleaned up the list a little bit. Then I ran that through, I used Wildcard. I ran that through the appraisal district, and then it spit out a couple. There were some missing, and then the VA that I trained, they looked up the other ones, and now, you know, it's a very, very niche list of people who took out, you know, loans to get their taxes paid on the house itself, and those people were at risk of losing the house if they don't pay the, you know, that tax lien off. So we're going to market to those people, and, you know, that's just a really super niche list that we found. We haven't had no success off of it yet because we haven't marketed to it, but I mean, it goes hand in hand with the question you were asking, how niche do we get? Another one we do, you know, I find landlords with vacant properties who are over 65 that I know are too old to go do the work. We'll market to them to try to get some sub two deals. You know, it just, we build campaigns around kind of what we want to market to. So if we're trying to get more wholesale deals, you know, we'll do that, you know, more of a tax delinquent, vacant, senior. Or another one is a pre-probate. We go and we scrape all the obituary data in the county. We run that through the CAD to see if those people who are deceased had any property. And, you know, we'll find their family, the next of kin. We'll look at the title record to see if there's a probate filed on the deed. Or if they have an affidavit of heirship, and if they don't, then we'll start looking for the next of kin. Or if they have filed an affidavit of heirship, we'll see who filed it, and we'll market to them to see if they want to sell the property. I think statistically, they're like 90% more likely to sell the property if the owner died. So
you just got to look at problems, right? What are the type of, you know, the way we're differentiating our other, you know, people even in our space is, what happens when somebody dies? What's the first thing that happens, right? Or what happens when a tax lien, what happens when somebody doesn't pay taxes? You got everything to the county. So if you can go down to the county, build a great relationship with the county, or just start ask, you know, pay for a consultation with the attorney, right? So you can ask them these questions. If you can understand processes and orders on the way things are filed, you're going to be ahead of everybody else. It's just really that simple. You know, the first thing that happens when you do like a pre-foreclosure is the, I forget what it's called, but is it called, Greg? God dang, I can't even slip my mind.
You're talking about a
successor of substitute trustee, right? Isn't that what it is? So what happens even before that, right? You, I mean, you're just trying to find out the order of which events are being, order of what is happening with your deeds, right? What type of instrument is being used down at your county. Once you can figure out all that stuff, man, I swear you really don't have competition. Like, we have guys in our town and we like them a lot and they're crushing it, right? But their average deal size might be $5,000. Maybe they're getting 10, you know? Me and Greg aren't even messing with it if it's not a lot. And to be honest, we only get laydowns because we're going after the people that nobody else can find. So we have a VA company, Hourglass VAs, and we have trained basically deep skip tracers, right? They're basically private investigators at this point. And they're going after all those. We're trying to attack all the people that nobody else can get a hold of because, one, there's no competition. Two, they're laydowns, meaning we don't have to compete with anybody. I know it's the same thing I just said, but, you know, they actually need help. Like, it's not like a, oh, I think I want to sell. It's like, no, I need to sell. I just don't know what to do type of thing, right? So,
no, I love
it. Data's cool.
No, yeah, I love it. You guys are doing what other people aren't doing. And you are actually solving a problem like we've talked about. And that's what, you know, a lot of us, I think when we first start in real estate, we don't realize that we're here to solve people's problems. Like, we're here to help people get out from under a problem house they may have, or get out from, you know, maybe taxes they owe. We're here to help them. And, you know, we just make money in the process. That's part of being the solution finder. And I love that you guys are going really, really deep and searching for people that otherwise would be ignored, or people, you know, they're ignored because nobody can find the info, right? And so you guys actually found your niche there, I feel like, and that's pretty cool. So you said you own a VA company. So let's say someone's interested and they're like, man, I really want to, you know, kind of go this route. I get a list skip traced. I get all the cell phone numbers, and I always get a bunch that I can't find phone numbers for. What would you recommend for someone who's in that position? They're like, hey, I want to start going this route. What would you recommend they do?
I would say, I know what Greg's going to say, and it's not going to matter if you get a VA or you get Cool Data or any of that. If your system and processes or and simple. If your machine isn't running right, it's not going to matter what type of gas you put in there, right? So if you don't have a right way to, you know, handle your conveyor belt, what happens if you put in this data? Who's going to talk to them? Who's going to reach them? Who's going to, all that good stuff, right? So I'm going to give you spill on VAs, right? Because that's, you know, all that, but it's people blame VAs, right? There's this thing where the people are blaming VAs for their problems. And it's like, dude, you don't have a good process. You're not ready to get a VA. I know you think like they preached out there, get a VA, get your time back and all that. And it's true. While all that's true, you're only creating another headache for you because you didn't take the time to start at the front end. I mean, when people want, you know, outbound marketers, you know, or direct to seller marketers from us, like a cold caller or a texter, we ask them, do you know your KPIs? Like, why do you want a cold caller and a texter? If you don't even know your KPIs on cold calling, why would you also do it on texting? You're just going to be wasting money there. We're trying to prevent you from wasting money, right? I mean, maybe we're being a shitty salesman because we should just let you get them all, right? But we actually care, because it's like, you shouldn't try to do 10 things of marketing, 10 different types of forms of marketing at one time. You should really know what you're doing. That way you're able to scale up. You know, Greg's real good on that. I mean, you know, every time we bring on a client, I make them talk to him, because I'm like, no, you don't need to be doing that. And here's why. And then Greg will tell him, like, you know, I don't know if you want to go into some of the KPI stuff, Greg, or the process on why they shouldn't get a VA first, or if they should, all that good stuff. I'm sure people would learn.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. There should be a process flow on everything into your company. And every time you put one piece of data in there, just one, you should be able to track it from the time that you first started marketing to them till they either told you, you know, hey, quit calling my phone, or I sold the property, or you get it under contract. You should be able to track all that. And, you know, we have a ton of data. There's a lot, you know. You got to have a way to track all of that. And if you don't have those proper processes in place, you're going to lose a lot of money. You're just going to be, you know, you're going to be throwing stuff at the wall, and you're going to hope something sticks. And that's not what you really want to do. So, like, let's say you take a campaign of 500 people, you skip trace it, and you get 400 out of the 500 prospects, you get phone numbers on, right? So you start a campaign on those 400 people. What do you do with those other 100 people who didn't come back? Do you just give up and stop marketing to them just because they didn't get a number back? No, because you paid for that data. You have 100 people, you have 100 prospects that you paid for information for, and you're not doing nothing with it. So you run through the campaign one time, and, you know, I think our average is we talk to 5%. So what's 5% of 400? What is that? Like, is it 20?
Something like that. Yeah, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're, yeah, you're right. 20.
Yeah. So you're going to talk to 20 people, and after you go through that, which, I mean, our campaigns are way bigger. I'm just using this for, you know, something simple, but you're going to talk to 20 people that day. So what are you going to do? Are you going to call it again? How many times are you going to call it? What are you going to do if they don't answer after you call it 5 times? That's what we do. Excuse me. We recycle the data 5 times. We call them 5 times in a row back to back. And then we put the campaign on ice for about 3 months, and then we call through it again. So every single time you call through it, you're only going to talk to like 20 people. And, you know, you do that 5 times, that's 5 times 25. What was that? 100.
Yeah.
You talked to 100 people out of 400. You didn't contact 100. So, I mean, there's 400 people there you never talked to, and you got to find another way to get a hold of them. You got to find a way to talk to them. You got to track all those numbers you called. You got to make sure that they all worked. And if the numbers didn't work, you got to kick them out. That way somebody can skip trace it. That way you are talking to the right person you do need to be talking to. I mean, just like think of it this way. Let's say you buy 5,000 and only 5% of them answered, and you never recycle it. Like, how much money are you throwing away there? You already bought the data. All you got to do is run it through your system again.
And people are going to sell those houses, right? You know, there's no doubt about it. You just want to be the one on the other end that they sell to, hopefully, right? Because maybe you can provide the best value. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because, you know, a lot of people, they use the list once and then they just, you know, they'll buy another one, right? Use it once, go buy another one. And so I think that's cool that you guys are talking about recycling your list. I think a lot of people have questions about that. Like, hey, how many times should I go through my list? Or how many times should I be calling or texting these people or sending marketing? So I think that's cool that you guys are talking about that aspect. And if you're brand new to real estate and you're listening to this, some of this may be confusing. I just want to let you know, just consume it, because the more you're around it, you're going to learn. And you know, this is stuff that you're going to grow into, but just know that you need to be tracking these KPIs, these key performance indicators, and what we talk about like that. Just know your numbers. If you're brand new to this, that's all we want you to know right now, is just know your systems, know your numbers, because you're going to need that. And so I just wanted to point that out. I think it's cool. Everything you're talking about, people have questions about, and you guys are hitting it right on the head. So thank you for sharing.
So one way that we do help with that, right, is we're trying to give you a quote unquote business in a box. And by that, I mean, hey, we want you to use this dialer. We want you to use this CRM. We want you to use all of it, right? This, and we're going to give you VAs trained on this specifically. We'll give you a systems manager, and we'll give you one outbound reach person, right? So direct to seller method. And you're going to learn real quick, because I can almost guarantee you on a lot of our systems, Greg probably doesn't even know the login for any of them. He doesn't know, you know, how to, because he doesn't need to. That's not his. We have a, I'm the visionary, he's the integrator, and we have an implementer. So our implementer knows all the logins, knows how to track every bit of it. Greg's just there to look at numbers in a bigger view and be like, hey, you know, we had, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, our average daily rate for 3 days in a row was 2.5% of outbound reach, right? Like, we're only able to get a hold of 2.5%. Our normal is 5. And he's like, why is this happening? So then he went in there. You know, most people would just never be able to fix that. So anyway, you know, we're able to help people because that's the way we were helped through. We got, you know, we basically got a business in a box in a sense too, right? We just had to tweak it a bunch to make it our own. And that's the same thing everybody else that will have to do. But if you don't get worried, if you're not good with the numbers, don't get worried. If you're scared about not knowing your KPIs, you don't need to, if you're able to get somebody in place to do it. You just got to be, you got to see that you need help, right? So again, we can give you a business in a box, quote unquote. Our VAs are $6 an hour. We have a one-time fee of $650. It costs money. You know, if you want to grow, it's going to cost you a little bit of money to get in there. But the learning curve, you know, I wish we'd have done this at the beginning. There's no telling. We might be doing some crazy things right now. So I wish we'd have had it at the beginning.
I love it, guys. I love it. Well, let's talk a little bit more, you know, about that. Where can people find you at on social media? Where can they, like, if they want more information about your systems, where can they find all this information, your data? I know you guys got a company that you work with through that. So just give everybody a little glance about where they can find you and your information at.
So bigpeachdata.com. That's where you can get skip trace information. You can get pre-built lists there. We have another company called Kate Data. It's very expensive, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not for somebody who's new. We actually push away most people that come to it because we don't need to take anybody's money, right? So I'm not going to give you, if you're not ready, we're not going to sell to you, basically. Our VAs, our Hourglass VAs, you know, $6 an hour. Again, with the VAs, the reason we're having such good success is we have a great company culture. You know, we talk to our employees when they're not at work, you know, they're scheduled off. We're still communicating. We're having fun. We're having a great time. We're very playful. You have to have, every day we do a morning huddle. It's an hour long. 3 times a week, we do call calibrations where we go over, hey, this was a good lead. This was a bad lead. What could we have done better? Just so constant communication, constant, you know, growth with inside the community and our community. And then we do like acquisition training, because I'm training somebody to replace me. That way I don't have to go on all these appointments and be on the phone all the time. It's just, you know, we're doing a lot. So, but reach out to us at Cashflow Kenley, CashflowKennd, as in dog, LEY. That's on Instagram, and Big Spread Greg on Instagram for Greg. You know, we're on Facebook. If you want to get on Facebook, get it Greg Tuck on Facebook. I'm not the big Facebook guy. He is, but yeah, you know, hit us up, man. We're here to help. You know, we're all about giving back. We wish somebody would have done this for us. So
Definitely. Yeah. And I'll attach your guys' links in the description below. So if you're listening to this right now, just go cop those, go down below, click them, follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and just send them a message and let them know how much value you got from this show. Just you maybe shoot a comment over to them, let them know that I sent you. So guys, thank you so much for coming on. And I just want to remind you guys, we're actually going to be getting Ken and Greg down there in Florida this fall when we do the event there in Sarasota, Florida for the Real Estate Success Live Mastermind. Now, just to give you a little background about this event, there's only going to be 15 people there, super small, super communal. It's going to be us just coming, kind of sitting down, talking about how we can scale our business through marketing, funding, and systems. So if you have any struggle in those areas, finding deals, funding deals, and then actually having a system in place so you can do more of what you love. Listen, you want to come to this event because it's going to be powerful. You're going to get to meet with me, my mentor, Henley, Greg, and several other people as well, and just have a good time on the beach. All right. I mean, who doesn't love learning about real estate on the beach, you know, and just getting to meet good.
I'm there, man.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. It's going to be cool. This is our first one. So yeah. Just go check it out at realestatesuccess.live. And you guys can find all the information there. So Kenley, Greg, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate you all. And I'll make sure everybody gets your way.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys, man. Just keep giving back to the community. We're watching you, Michael. You're doing a lot. We've been in contact for now for a little over a year. And yeah, man, just keep being a go-giver like you are.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Have a great day. And guys, just a reminder, hit that subscribe button so you get these every Tuesday, the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. We'll see you sometime soon. God bless.